and hear about the appearance day of our most beloved Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's from none other than His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Maharaj, I would like to welcome you on the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, Maharaj, and a very, very happy Gaur Purnima to you too. Whenever you're ready, Maharaj, please take the call over Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, my obeisances to you and to all the devotees. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. So, bring up a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, verse number 39. Okay. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Dui hetu avatare lana bhaktagan apane aswade premanam sankirtan. Translation. Thus, with two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Next verse. Se dvara achadale kirtana sanchare nama prema malagati parala samsare. Thus, Lord Chaitanya spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema in which he garlanded the entire world. Next verse. E matta bhakta bhava kari angikara apane achari bhakti kari la prachar. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. Srila Prabhupada's purport, and we'll read most of the purport. When Srila Rupa Goswami met Lord Chaitanya at Prayag, he offered his respectful obeisances by submitting that Lord Chaitanya was more magnanimous than any other avatar of Krishna because he was distributing the love of Krishna. His mission was to enhance love of Godhead in the human form of life. The highest achievement is to attain the platform of love of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya did not invent a system of religion, as people sometimes assume. Religious systems are meant to show the existence of God, who is then generally approached as the cosmic order supplier. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental mission is to distribute love of Godhead to everyone. Anyone who accepts God as the Supreme can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous. This munificent broadcasting of devotional service is possible only for Krishna himself. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taught the philosophy of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who has surrendered to the Supreme can make further progress by learning to love him. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement propagated by Lord Chaitanya is especially meant for those who are cognizant of the presence of the Supreme Godhead, the ultimate controller of everything. His mission is to teach people how to dovetail themselves into engagements of transcendental loving service. He is Krishna teaching his own service from the position of a devotee. The Lord's acceptance of the role of a devotee is the eternal form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is another of the Lord's wonderful features. The conditioned soul cannot reach the absolute personality of Godhead by its imperfect endeavor. Therefore, it is wonderful that Lord Chaitanya, in the form of Lord Gauranga, has made it easy for everyone to approach him. Continue, there's more. Srup Damodar Goswami has described Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself, with the attitude of Radharani, or a combination of Radha and Krishna. The intention of Lord Chaitanya is to taste Krishna's sweetness in the transcendental love. He did not care to think of himself as Krishna because he wanted the position of Radharani. We should remember this. I'll stop here. Om Gyan Timidandasya Gena Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Pasyatya De Sitarine Panchakalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Paebhacha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vaishnave Vyona Maho Maha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinda Ajanu Lambita Bhujo Kandakamba Dadam Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Takso Vishwambaro Dvijabaro Yugadharma Falo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataro Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sanodido Guru Daya Pushpanvanto Chitta Sando Tamoludo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Lord Chaitanya, his appearance is today. This heralds in the new year for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We celebrate the new year on the day of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is Krishna himself. He is non-different than the original Krishna of Vrindavan, but he has a sentiment that is different. And he has adopted the sentiment of his pure devotee, or you might say his internal energy, who is the highest platform of devotional expression, Srimati Radharani. So in that mood of her love for him, he performs his pastimes. And it's explained that Lord Chaitanya is Chana avatar. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chana means hidden. He comes as a devotee of himself, and he doesn't play the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we also honor his internal mood as being the devotee of the Lord. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's mentioned that he appeared for six reasons. And those six reasons are divided into two categories, internal and external. The external reasons are that during the time prior to Lord Chaitanya's appearance in the world, in the area of Navadvip, where the Lord appeared, people were quite elevated. They were highly intellectual, very pious, but not very devotional. They performed a lot of ritualistic ceremonies. They worshipped the internal energy of the Lord rather than worshipping the, they worshipped the external energy of the Lord, I should say, rather than worshipping the Lord. They were interested in increasing material facilities, the happiness that comes with material gain, and performing great elaborate sacrifices. But hardly in that area, although it was a bastion of intellectualism, everyone was more or less focused on higher forms of material enjoyment. And this is explained both in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita, that people aspire for higher material realms. And so sacrifices, performances, worship of the demigods, and various types of Shakta worships were going on at the time. Therefore, at that time, of course, when the Lord appears, he sends, before he appears, he ascends some of his confidential associates. And one of that confidential associates was an expansion of himself, who was known as Sri Advaita Acharya. Sri Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu himself, coming as a devotee of the Lord, and he was a Brahmin, highly elevated, and worshipped and respected as the best of all Brahmanas. He was quite disturbed to see the consciousness of the people at the time. They were not inclined to devotional service. They were inclined to higher materialistic sacrifices and principles for gain in material life. And so he became quite concerned. In fact, his concern took the form of anger, and he wanted to do something to punish them, but he realized that it wasn't his position to do that. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form as Krishna himself can rectify or purify the situation. And so, with great anguish and with great enthusiasm and devotion, he went to the banks of the Ganga and he set up an altar with tulsi leaves, sandalwood paste, and shalagram shila. And he was worshiping the shalagram shila, calling with great heartfelt desire, "Please appear, my dear Lord." So one of the reasons why the Lord appeared was to satisfy the desire of Advaita Acharya. The second reason was the Lord also mentions in the Bhagavad Gita himself, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhutanam adharmasya tadatranam srijamyaham pravitranayam sadunam vinasanaya chaduskritam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhagami yuge yuge. The Lord appears when there is a decline in religious principles and an increase of irreligion throughout the world. And the third reason, which was the third and the most important of the external reasons, was to propagate the Yuga Dharma at the time, which is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So these were the three external reasons why the Lord appeared. The internal reasons are his confidential reasons, and those are very difficult to understand, but it is actually understood in relationship to the Lord's personal desire. And those reasons are, they are confidential reasons. And the first one is to relish the position of Srimati Radharani. She is the prime reciprocation of transcendental love for Krishna. Subjects become or take the position of the object. In other words, he is the subject, but now he becomes the object. He takes her position. Why? To understand her love for him. And Radha and Krishna cannot be separated. Lord Chaitanya is a, what we call, a combination of Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyonya. He is the, he has the heart of Radharani. He is called Gauranga, and she is all called, she calls, she's called Gaurangi. Refers to their color. Lord Chaitanya is a golden color, and Radharani is also the same color. It is explained that when the Lord, before he manifested his pastime on earth, he was with his internal consort, Srimati Radharani. He was describing how he was going to appear in this age, taking on her mood of devotion. She became quite concerned that taking on her mood of devotion, he would become mad and he would not be able to keep his life. In other words, he would go mad in ecstasy. So she said, I will give you my color to protect you. And so therefore he is also known as Gauranga. Her love for him is tasted 10 million times more than his love for her that is mentioned. Her love is all-pervading, yet it still expands. How can we understand that? But something is all pervading, but yet it can still expand. And although her love is so great, it has not a single iota of any personal pride in it. Therefore, it is completely pure. So this is one of the three confidential reasons why the Lord appears as Radharani. The second one is to understand what is about him that is so wonderful that attracts her to him. What is about Krishna that is so attractive that Radharani becomes fully absorbed in loving him in so many different ways? Well, he wants to understand his own sweetness. There's a beautiful story that's mentioned in the Chaitanya Mangala. Balochan Das Thakur describes in his narration that Krishna was in Dwarka with his internal energy, Rukmini. He's Dwarkadish. He's the king of Dwarka. And he has 16,108 queens. And the principal queen is Rukmini. So Rukmini is there and she's massaging the Lord's feet and she's massaging and massaging and she's becoming so overwhelmed with love that she cannot restrain her emotions. And she expresses her emotion. And then that expression comes in the form of saying, my dear Lord, your lotus feet are so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. She can't control her emotions. And in the continuation of her expression of her love, she said, no one in existence can understand how wonderful your lotus feet are. And then she said, except one, Srimati Radharani. So when the Lord heard that, he was thinking, oh, Radharani understands me more than I can even understand myself. So with that mentality, Radha's mentality, he adopts Radha's mentality in order to understand what is the power or the sweetness that he has to attract her love to him. There's a nice, wonderful pastime how Krishna is even attracted to himself. He's walking, this was also in Dwarka, and he passes by a big column. The column is somewhat mirror-like. It reflects the image in front of it. And so Krishna passes by, And then he walks back to look and he says, oh, who's that? That person is so attractive. And then he said, oh, that's me. So Krishna even gets bewildered by his own attraction. So Radharani, of course, she sees the personification of understanding fully how wonderful Krishna is. The gopis themselves, they cannot understand Radharani's love for Krishna. And therefore, they want to understand it more and more by not losing even a fraction of a second of the darshan of Krishna's appearance. So at one point in their ecstasy, they curse Lord Brahma. They say, Lord Brahma, you are an imperfect creator. You have created eyes with eyelids. And therefore, we cannot continuously see the beauty of the Lord. Eyelids blink. So this is the love for the devotees, for the Lord Chaitanya from the gopis. So that's the second reason. And the third reason is to enjoy the happiness that Radharani tastes and to understand that happiness from his position, from her position. He takes her position. What is her happiness? It's the selfless love of Srimati Radharani, which is the pinnacle of ultimate happiness. And the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, cannot or will not try to enjoy themselves. They want to give happiness to Krishna. And therefore, although they experience so much happiness in relationship to Krishna, they have no desire for their own happiness. And this is an important point that people may not fully understand, that the difference between love and lust. Love and lust looks the same many times. But what is lust? Lust means that you come in contact with another person to fulfill your own desire. Maybe it's a desire to become happy, but that's still under the category of lust. Love means only to act for the benefit of the beloved, with not a selfish, not even a single iota of selfishness for oneself. One is, does not care anything about what happens to themselves. All they want to do is show their love for another by making that other person happy. That is the actual understanding of love. So with Radharani's sentiment, the Lord came and he preached the Yuga Dharma, which was the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the expression of Radharani's love for Krishna in the highest ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that he actually chants and dances and spreads this amongst the untouchables of the world. It says in the Lord Chaitanya appeared for propagating the religion of the age, which was the chanting of the holy name. But this was secondary. His internal reasons were primary. And to spread amongst the untouchables. Untouchables, that's us. That's us here in the material world. Distribution of the holy name and prema and to garland the entire world with Radharani's love. So those who engage in Sankirtan movement and make the chanting of the holy names their prime activity in life will begin to understand a little bit about Lord Chaitanya and why he came to distribute love of God. His mood is very sweet. His mood is very magnanimous. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gola Shruste Namaha. He is the most magnanimous person. He wants to give love of God to each and every living entity. And he does it through demonstrating himself by propagating the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. He taught us how to love Krishna. When Krishna was here, Krishna wasn't so easily approachable. Therefore, when he spoke to Bhagavad Gita, he summed up his teachings by saying, Sarva Dharma Parikshitam Mamekam Sadhanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Moksha Yishyami Ma Suchaha. That Krishna was saying, you must surrender to me. And when you do, then you will experience the love of God in devotion. But he made conditions for surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Namo Maha Vandanaya. Most magnanimous, he makes no conditions. Therefore, he taught how to love God by chanting and dancing and taking wonderful sacred foodstuffs offered to the Lord known as Krishna Prasadam. If you want something simple, if you want something easy, but if you want something very profound at the same time, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. It is so profound that no one can understand Lord Chaitanya. It's not possible. But at the same time, he becomes so easily available in the movement that he gave by giving us the opportunity to develop our internal mood of love for Krishna through the process of the Sankirtan movement. And the Sankirtan movement is Lord Chaitanya's expression of love of God, and it's his, also his expression of Radharani's internal mood for Krishna. When you see Krishna dancing in rasa dance, as Krishna did in Vrindavan with the gopis, which is considered to be the pinnacle or the supreme expression of loving relationship between Krishna and his internal associates, the residents of Vrindavan. And you see Lord Chaitanya dancing and chanting with his devotees in kirtan, there is no difference. There is no difference between these two. Krishna Varna, Tusa Krishna, Sangupanga, Siparshadam, Yagyai, Sankirtanai, Prayai, Yajanti, Hi, Sumedhisaha. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has made it so easy and so nice. And what he did to herald his appearance, Lord Chaitanya appeared during an interesting time. He created something inauspicious in order to bring in something auspicious. We see, and this is true, we're seeing it even now today, that when people's happiness is interfered with by external circumstances, such as what we have now, a disease traveling around, of course it's practically gone, but for 2 years we were seeing that, how people were quite fearful and also very much forced to change their life, all because of external situations. So what do people do? Well, the materialists, they go deeper into sense gratification, but the devotees and pious people, they go closer to God. So Lord Chaitanya, he is very intelligent. So he created a lunar eclipse, which is considered to be very auspicious. Very inauspicious. And during the time of his desired appearance, this lunar eclipse happened. Now, during that time, in the Navadvip area, people would go to the banks of the holy river Ganga, and when something inauspicious, they would bathe in the Ganga to counteract and to be protected from the inauspiciousness. So, and they would also pray to the Lord during that time. So people were not chanting Hare Krishna, they were not worshiping the Lord, but the Lord arranged for his appearance to be in such a way that everyone would welcome him in the form of the Yuga Dharma, which was chanting the holy name, through a lunar eclipse. And so it says the Lord appeared during that time, and thousands of people were going to the Ganga, bathing in the Ganga and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. At that time, the Lord appeared in the house of Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. And he appeared in a most wonderful, beautiful form. He was in his baby-like form. He was so attractive that people from everywhere, hearing about the birth in the house of Sachi Mata, came to see the wonderful child. They brought gifts. They brought all kinds of auspicious articles. They brought their good fortune. They brought everything just to know the child. So the Lord appeared in a very profound way in order to herald in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And of course, as we hear from his later pastimes, to taste more directly Radharani's love for him in his expression of the Sankirtan movement. So these are some of the reasons why, these are actually the reasons, the six reasons, three internal and three external, why the Lord appeared. And he performed many, many wonderful pastimes. Many of the pastimes are noted by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, along with Vrindavan Das Thakur in their works, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, along with Lochan Das and Chaitanya Mangala. All of these writings have deep and very extensive explanations of the reasons of the Lord's appearance. So the Lord doesn't appear in Kali Yuga. Each time Kali Yuga appears, he appears once in every 1,000 Kali Yugas. So we might consider ourselves very fortunate, because one cannot approach Vrindavan Dham without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not possible. So in Kali Yuga, Vrindavan Dham is not available. But once in every 1,000 Kali Yugas, when Krishna appears at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, and his disappearance at that time heralds in the beginning, not heralds, but marks the beginning of Kali Yuga. Only 500 years after that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead again appears, this time in his most magnanimous form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya means living force. The living force that inspires the devotees in their love for Krishna. He is the internal energy of the Lord, who appears in the hearts of the Lord, but also personally as a devotee of the Lord to teach. And there are many, many wonderful pastimes. Tomorrow we will, I know in America, you are all celebrating Lord Chaitanya's appearance today, so you're all very fortunate. Here I am in India, so we will be, tomorrow, we will be celebrating the same occasion here in the land of India, and of course throughout Europe is also the same time period. But I will speak a few pastimes of the Lord, which kind of illustrates a little bit about his appearance in the world. Growing up in the house of Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, he was the cynosure of everyone's heart, everyone's eyes. His first real revelation of his actual identity came at the time when he was only 3 years old. At that time, one particular Brahmana, very pious Brahmana, very devoted Brahmana, he was traveling. He came to the area of Navadvip, and he just happened to stop in the house of Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. He had been fasting for 3 days, and he was worshiping his deity in the form of Gopa, which he would carry around his neck on a necklace. And he would chant the Gopal mantra. Glam Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopi Jana Vallabhaya, or Klim Krishnaya Govindaya. There are different ways to chant the Gopal mantra. So he would worship the Lord by chanting the Gopal mantra. So he came. Now he had been fasting and he wanted to take rest. And Jagannath Mishra welcomed him in. Oh, such a saintly Brahmin. He has come to my house. He was so happy. He gave him all honors and welcomed him so nicely. And he said, my dear Brahmin, what can I do for you? He said, well, I have been fasting for 3 days. I would like to break my fast. So can you make the arrangements? Sure, we will be happy. So Jagannath Mishra made all the arrangements. And the Brahmin says, you just give me the arrangements. I will cook for myself. Give me the utensils and the food substances, the ingredients, and I will cook. And so he began cooking, and he cooked rice. Now, when he finished, he started to chant the mantras to his deity, the Gopal mantra. And while he was chanting, little Nimai, Lord Chaitanya's name was Nimai because he was born under the neem tree. He came and started to eat the rice that the Brahmana had cooked. And the Brahmana started to become really distressed. What is happening? This child is ruining the offering. And he starts to call out in that way. Jagannath Mishra becomes alert. He comes and sees what happened. He takes a stick and he starts chasing after little Nimai, and Nimai runs away and gets away. Jagannath Mishra is more concerned with the Brahmana, how he has been. He gave him so many opportunities to welcome him. Now his hospitality is turning into something else. So he's feeling very bad. He's feeling responsible. He prays to the Brahmin, oh, we are so sorry. We didn't know the child would do that. Oh, the Brahmin said, well, that is okay. I can understand. And then he said, well, please cook again. No, no, I think the Lord doesn't want me to eat. No, no, please, we want you, our guest. We want you to have everything that you should have. So please cook again. So he agreed. And then everything was placed again. And this time Nimai was not around. And Brahmana started to cook again. This went on for some time. Finally, he was finished. And he started to chant his Gopal mantra to offer the food to his deity, Gopal, Krishna. And while he was chanting, again, little Nimai came out from nowhere and started to eat the offering. Oh, he became so distressed. Hi, 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 what is happening? What is happening? And Jagannath Mishra hears the sounds again, starts coming back. Oh, he sees little Nimai, and this time he's really chasing after Nimai. Nimai runs into the room, locks the door from the inside, and he stays there. Jagannath Mishra is overwhelmed with sorrow. How is it that child again has spoiled everything? He comes back and he starts to beg forgiveness. We are so sorry. We didn't know. I promise you it will never happen again. Please cook again. Oh, no, no, no. This is now it is evident that the Lord does not now want me to have food today. No, no, you must. No, no, I can't. At that time, when they were going back and forth, Vishwaroop, the elder brother of Lord Chaitanya, who is an expansion of Ananta Shesh, he came walking into the room, and he is beauty personified. Way, and then he saw the Brahmin. He said, my dear Brahmin, It is our good fortune you have come to our house. We are sorry for my little brother, but please cook again. We will be very happy if you do that. When the Brahmanas saw this beautiful boy, he was thinking, who is that? He is so attractive. And Jagannath Mishra said, oh, that is my elder son. His name is Vishwaroop. And Vishwaroop very charmingly convinced the Brahmin to cook again. And so now it's late in the evening. And practically all the members of the house are taking rest. And the Brahmin starts because he has to clean everything and then start from the beginning again and prepare everything from scratch, you might say. And he did that each time. Now he's doing it again. And this time it's very late, so it takes some time. So now he's cooking. And this time now it's about 12 o'clock midnight. Everyone is asleep. He finally finishes his cooking. He sits down in prayer, chants the Gopal mantra, and starts to beg the Lord to come to take the food. Again, little Nimai comes out of the room and he starts eating the offering of the Brahmana. And this time, he's so flabbergasted, the Brahmana, he can't do anything. Oh, no, he's done it again. And everyone is asleep. So this time, when he's seeing what is happening, the Lord, little Nimai, turns to him. He says, why are you acting like that? You're calling me. I am coming. I'm accepting your offer. Why are you in distress? And then he's stunned. He can't understand what the child is saying. And then Lord Chaitanya, little Nimai, expanded himself into Krishna. And he brought the whole atmosphere with Vrindavan with him. So all of a sudden, now the Brahman is seeing Vrindavan Dham with trees and rivers and birds and wonderful, wonderful scenery. And it's all Vrindavan Dham. And he's seeing Krishna there, standing in his threefold form, playing on his flute, smiling. All of this is happening and it's going on. He gets up. He falls down. He is in ecstasy. He loses consciousness. He comes back to consciousness. The Lord continues to display his most magnificent form of Krishna along with Vrindavan. Now this is going on for some time, and now he's just overwhelmed with ecstasy. He can't even keep his consciousness. Fine, this goes on for quite a long time, as described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And then at one point, he takes the rice that he cooked and he starts smearing it all over his body and rolling on the ground in ecstasy, calling out with great happiness and love for Krishna. This sort of wakes some of the residents in the house and they're all thinking, oh, well, I think he finally got something to eat. Now he's happy. They couldn't understand what he was experiencing. And then at one point, everything disappeared. And then Krishna now is back as Lord Chaitanya, the little baby. And he starts offering prayers. And the Lord says, you have been my devotee for many, many lives. And you have been such a sincere worshiper. I wanted to give you this mercy. And the Brahmin, well, he couldn't even speak. And then the Lord said something. He said, but one thing, you must not tell anyone what you have seen and experienced tonight. If you do, then something bad will happen. So please do not tell. My mission has not yet begun, but I'm giving you some special mercy. And then for 3 months, throughout those 3 months, the same Brahmin would come and play with little Nimai. But many times he wanted to say what was he experienced, just to let everyone know how much good fortune they had. But then he remembered the Lord said not to. So he kept that. He never spoke what he knew. So this was the first time in the Lord's pastime on earth where he displayed himself as Sri Krishna of Vrindavan to that very fortunate Brahmana. This is a beautiful pastime. There are so many wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His mission was to spread the Sankirtan movement for the first, we might say, 18 years of his life. He was more or less Nimai Pandit, the very arrogant scholar of Navadvip. He was so profuse in knowing the scriptures and speaking the scriptures, and he became expert in logic and grammar, and no one could defeat him. He would challenge people to debates, and he would defeat them very easily. He was so intelligent that he would even defeat people and say, all right, now you defeat the argument that I use to defeat you. In other words, defeat my argument. And they couldn't. So he would defeat his own argument and reestablish another principle. And then he would challenge them to defeat that, and they couldn't. And then he would defeat that and establish the original argument that he gave earlier. So in this way, he was arrogant. He would like to defeat everyone. One time, Mukunda, some of the devotees who were there before him, Mukunda was there. Of course, Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, all of these personalities appeared before Lord Chaitanya. And one time he saw Mukunda, and he walked up to Mukunda and said, tell me the meaning of liberation. And Mukunda said, liberation means become free from all material suffering. Lord Chaitanya said, that's not the answer. Go home and study your books and come back tomorrow, I'll ask you again. So in this way, he would challenge everyone. But at one point, and it was the Lord decided that he wanted to move his mission in another direction. So he decided to take a trip to Gaya. While he was in Gaya, he was worshiping in one Vishnu temple. And when he was there in the Vishnu temple, a very effulgent personality came in. And when Lord Chaitanya, who's Nimai Pandit, the scholar, saw that, he saw, this is my spiritual master. And that was none other than Ishwarapuri himself. And Ishwarapuri also noticed Lord Chaitanya. So their eyes met and they locked in, what we say, a very, very deep loving relationship. That night, Lord Chaitanya went to see Ishwarapuri, and he surrendered at the lotus feet of Ishwarapuri, and he said, you are my spiritual master. Please give me diksha, give me initiation. Without getting initiation, the goal of life cannot be attained. Tad vidyartha gurum eva abhigatschay. Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, he accepts the spiritual master. When Krishna was here and his pastimes in Vrindavan, he accepted Sandipani Muni as his spiritual master. So the Lord, when he appears in his incarnations, some of them, he accepts a spiritual teacher. Why? To teach the conditioned souls that the goal of life, which is prema pumartha mahan, love of God, cannot be approached unless one surrenders in submission to a representative of Krishna who is fully empowered by Krishna to teach Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya accepted a spiritual master as an example for all of us. Sometimes we think, well, why should I get a spiritual master? You know, I know Krishna. I grew up in India, and we all knew about Krishna. We grew up in our families, and we would honor Krishna. We would go to the temple of Krishna. So we did all that. And therefore, yeah, you know, Krishna's there. And I'm here, and I have a relationship with Krishna. Why should I get up someone in between? Well, practically every science that you need to understand or desire to understand is taught by a teacher. Even if you read books, those books are written by the teacher who knows the science. So it is required to have a teacher. Therefore, it's not optional if we want to actually attain the full mercy of the Lord and devotion. One has to accept the bona fide spiritual master, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadviri Pravipate na paripasyena sevaya upadeksyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. That by surrendering to the spiritual master, who is the representative of Krishna himself, through submission, desire to serve, and inquiring from that person, then one can actually make progress to the goal of life, which is love of God. And the spiritual master is like the eyeglasses, just like the eyes may be deficient or have cataracts or have some, cannot see beyond a certain point or cannot even see at all, or hardly at all, then by adding the eyeglasses, it enhances the image to be seen in the same way. The spiritual master is the transparent eyeglasses. He accepts worship on behalf of the Lord, not for himself, but for the Lord, and he offers that worship to the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased by his pure devotee offering the devotion given by his disciple to the Lord, that disciple makes advancement on the path. In other words, they receive the mercy of the Lord and they get knowledge. By worshiping the spiritual master, one receives spiritual knowledge. One receives a detachment from material life. In other words, one can free themselves from the entanglement of material energy, which keeps us in ignorance and bound up by the activities of struggling in order to simply achieve some peace in mind, which never comes. It's just a struggle. Material life is just struggle. That's all it is. So the spiritual master is what is called the mercy manifestation of Krishna. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya accepted Ishvara Puri as his spiritual master. And after being accepted by Ishvara Puri and worshiping him, the Lord returned to Navadvipa. And now he was a different person. He wasn't the same anymore. His arrogance had gone. He had become a humble Vaishnava. This time, rather than challenging people, he was offering service to them. And he would take the clothes of the devotees. He would wash them himself. He would hang them up for drying. Once they were dry, he would fold them and return them to the devotee who owned them. he would bring prasadam to the devotees, just like a menial servant. Although he is the Supreme Lord himself, he was teaching the principle of devotion from the point of view of a... But we might say that his teaching is also his happiness. The Lord likes to serve his devotees. The Lord likes to serve his devotees. He enjoys serving his devotees, and especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so attractive to his devotees. He would joke with his devotees. It says that he would tell very funny jokes, not in general, but to his associates who were his devotees. He would show kindness in so many ways to his devotees, and of course he would always inspire kirtan and prasadam. This was Lord Chaitanya. I would like to, before I end the discussion today, I would like to read a particular prayer written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, if you'll bear with me, I will try to sing it. I'm not a good singer, but it's so beautiful. And there's 8 verses. It's called Sri Sachi Sutastakam. Sri Sachi Sutastakam. And it's by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's very beautiful. And I'll chant each of the verses and read the translation one by one as we go down the verses. So if you give me permission, I will begin. Navaghora param navapush Pasadham Navabhavadham Navalakshyakaram Navahasyakaram Navahemavaram Pranamhami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram Nava Premayutam Navam Nitasucham Navadeshakritam Nava Premarasam Navadavilasasuta Premamayam Anamami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram Hari Bhakti Param Hari Namadaram Karajapakaram Hari Namaparam Nayane Satatam Pranayasrudaram Anamami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram Satatam Janata Bhava Tapaharam Pramamartha Parayana Loka Gatim Navalehakaram Jagatapaharam Anamami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram Nija Bhakti Karam Priya Charutaram Natanartana Nagara Rajakuram Kulakamini Manasalasa Lasakaram Anamami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram Karatalabalam Kalakatabaram Riduvaryam Suninikaya Madhuram Nijabhakti Guna Vritta Natyakaram Anamami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram Yuga Dharma Yutam Purna Nanda Sutam Dharani Suchitam Bhava Bhavo Chitam Dana Dhanya Chitam Nija Vasa Yutam Anamami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram Arunam Nayanam Charanam Vasanam Vadane Savitam Svakanamadhanam Kurute Surasam Jagata Jivanam Anamami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram 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 Translation. His complexion is the hue of fresh cream tinged with kumkum. He is the ever-fresh cupid who shoots arrows of newly blossoming flowers. He bears newer and newer moods of emotional ecstasy. He is fond of performing novel dances. He makes ever-new jokes that cause much laughter. His brilliant luster is fresh, like freshly cast gold. I bow down to Gora, the beautiful sun of Manasachi. So in this first verse, you see, his color is mentioned, and he is like Cupid. His appearance awakens the love of God. He has many, many moods of ecstasy which he performs when he performs his dancing, and he likes to dance in different ways to express his loving moods. He makes jokes with his friends, and they enjoy his jokes tremendously. Again, it's mentioned he has a fresh cast gold. He is Gora or Goranga, the beautiful son of Manasachi. He is endowed with ever fresh love of God. His radiant luster is like the color of fresh butter. His fresh attire is arranged in ever new fashion. He relishes ever new mellows of love for Krishna. He shines in the ninefold ways while executing the ninefold process of devotion. He is permeated with the most auspicious, loving nature. Bow down to Gauda, the beautiful son of Manasachi. He is absorbed in devotion to Sri Hari. He maintains the chanting of the names of Krishna, Hari. While chanting, he counts the holy names on the fingers of his hands. He is addicted to the name of Hari. He always has tears of love welling in his eyes. I bow down to Gauda, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. So we see from this third verse that not only does he chant, but he keeps count. We have our counter beats, and Prabhupada said this is something that is important. We must always keep count of what we chant, and we must make some numeral vow and chant that many names every day. So chanting and counting is there with Lord Chaitanya, and the Goswamis of Vrindavan also chanted and counted their rounds, although they chanted many, many rounds. Haridas Thakur chanted 333,000, he chanted 192 rounds a day. So he kept count. So counting is also, it's called sankhya, to count is important. He is always removing the suffering and material existence from mankind. He is the goal of life for persons who are dedicated to their supreme interest. He inspires men to become like honeybees, eager for the honey of Krishna Prema. He removes the burning fire of material world and bow down to Gauda, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. So what he's saying here is that material life is simply suffering. He removes that. Those who worship Lord Chaitanya, they can become free from the suffering of material existence. He's the goal of life for those who actually understand their best interests. People in the material world think, if I can have this, I will be happy. If I can be with this person, I will be happy. If I can get this position, I will be happy. If I can be in this place, I will be happy. That is not the supreme interest. The supreme interest is to awaken our love for Krishna. And he is like a honeybee who teaches that by example, by his own eagerness for Krishna prema. Number five, he motivates pure devotion unto himself. He is the most attractive to his beloved servitor. By his dramatic dancing, he exhibits the characteristics of the king of paramours. He causes the mind of beautiful young village women to dance. I bow down to Goda, the beautiful son of Lakshmi. He's very charming. And when he dances in very dramatic ways. He's the king of lovers, and he inspires love in the hearts of all, especially from women. He is very attractive to the women of the world. It says that all women of the world, when they start to learn about Lord Chaitanya, they cannot become attracted to anyone else. This is Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. He plays kartos, and its throat emits sweet melodious sounds in the vibrant notes of the veena softly played. He thus inspires the devotees to perform dramatic dancing that is infused with aspects of his own devotional service. I bow down to Goda, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. So by his presence, he inspires devotion in the form of dancing, and his devotees also dance. We have stories of devotees, how they would dance for hours and hours in the presence of Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of calling out to Krishna with such happiness and such love. Lord Chaitanya has rained down the joy of Vaikuntha. He has brought the spiritual world to the material world in the form of this Sankirtan movement. As Krishna came and performed his pastimes in Vrindavan, it wasn't so easy. It was actually very difficult for those to enter into Krishna's pastimes when Krishna was here. They had to be a very elevated and fixed in pure devotional service. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inspires the process through his own devotion, and devotees sing and dance in great happiness. Number seven, he is accompanied by the Sankirtan movement, which is the religious practice for the age of Kali. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj come again. He is an extraordinarily brilliant ornament of the earth. His preaching mood is suitably adapted to the cycle of birth and death. His consciousness is fixed in meditation on his own form of Krishna. He is always accompanied by his transcendental abode. I bow down to Goda, beautiful son of Mother Sachi. So it says that he is Nanda Maharaj's son come again. So there is sometimes doubt that Lord Chaitanya is not Krishna. Here, confirmed by his intimate associate, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Mayavadi, a great philosopher, but a Mayavadi. After coming in contact with Lord Chaitanya, he became a pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He glorifies Lord Chaitanya in so many ways. His mind is completely changed by the presence of Lord Chaitanya. He was noted as one of the chief scholars of the time. He was respected by everyone as being the most learned. In fact, he was so learned that in Mithila, the place where Ram's pastimes occur, in Mithila, there was a particular scripture that was a glorification of the Lord that the residents of Mithila would not give to anyone else. And scholars wanted it, and others wanted it, and they couldn't get it. So, and it was not available anywhere You could hear it being spoken, but you couldn't find it written anywhere. And so he went to Mithila, heard it spoken, memorized the whole thing as it was being spoken, came back to Navadvip and wrote it down and gave it to the residents. And he was noted for such a sharp memory, Shruti Dara, remembered everything he could hear. So he's glorifying Lord Chaitanya as the son of Nanda Maharaj. And although he is Nanda Maharaj's son, he's in the mood of his own devotee, therefore he's fixed in meditation on his own form of Krishna. His Sankirtan movement is the religion of the age. Krishna Varnam Tvata Sa Krishna Sangapanga Saparshida Yagyai Sankirtanai Prayai Yajati Hi Sumedha Saha. In this age of Kali, there is only one Kalir Dosha Nidhi Rajan Asti Eko Mahabhun Kirtana Eva Krishna Sya Mukta Sangam Padam Bhajit. In this age of Kali, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the sinasaur, the essence of the glorifying the Lord in this age, and it pushes back the age of Kali. Kali Yuga Pavana, Kali Boyanasana, Sri Sachi Nandana Namre. He chases Kali away simply by his appearance. And when the devotees chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Kirtan, material energy cannot enter that Kirtan in no way. The Kirtan movement, the chanting of Krishna's name, is the religion of the age. If one performs that, there's no other need to perform any other forms of worship. Chanting the holy names of the Lord is the essence and the sum total of all religious practices in this age of Kali. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Verse number 8. His eyes, the soles of his feet, and the clothing are reddish like the color that heralds the rising sun. As he utters his own names, his voice falters. He awakens the sweet flavor of life throughout the universe. I bow down to Gauda, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. We see sometimes in the morning, before the sun arises, there's a red, beautiful red color within the sky. So it's compared, Lord Chaitanya's eyes, the soles of his feet, are all compared to the heralding of the rising of the beautiful sun during the morning hours. But this is a beautiful, beautiful expression of devotion given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in glorification of Lord Chaitanya. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.
Thank you, Maharaj. What a wonderful, so wonderful to hear about the Gaurakatha. It was very, very nice, Maharaj. And the stories and the pastime, they were so wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Devotees, if you have any, Hare Bolram. Devotees, do you have any questions for Maharaj? You can ask him.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Nandani.
My humble obeisances to you, Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you, Maharaj. So, Maharaj, I just wanted to ask this question, that is it okay to eat grains? You know, if you fast until midday, or should we be fasting all day Ekadashi?
I think we lost your sound when you began your question. We can try again.
Sorry, Maharaj, I think the line, I kind of lost you for a minute.
I can hear you clearly now.
Nice. Sorry, Maharaj. So Maharaj, yes, my question was that what should we be doing on, tomorrow? So should we be fasting all day Ekadashi, or is that okay to break the fast and have grains?
Well, you can take an Ekadashi prasadam at, what is it, sundown, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
You fast all the way up to sundown, and then you can take, usually we have Abhishek, and you break the fast with Abhishek, and there's no grains on that day. Whatever is offered to the deities is saved for the next day, and it's served out, because the next day is Jagannath Mishra Mahotsava. It's the day we honor the father of Lord Chaitanya, Jagannath Mishra. On that day, the afternoon, the feast is given. That's the big feast, but you take some light prasadam in the evening. This whole day, you should hear and chant the glories of the Lord, perform activities, Abhishek, kirtans, katha, and associating with other devotees. We should not simply stay in our own rooms and simply be by ourselves with a few people. We should go to the temples today and take part in the activities. Or change your house into a temple and do everything the temple does in your house. But best to go to the temples. Today is the day for temples. Yeah. Yeah. Fast till moonrise. Yeah, that's right. So thank you, Raj. And sundown and moonrise happen at the same time. Okay, but don't think about eating. Think about chanting and dancing.
As I've got kids, for them, festival is all about offerings. So just thought, I'll just kind of prepare accordingly, because tomorrow we'll obviously spend the whole day at the temple. So, I'm going to start preparing today itself.
Okay. We got half of our group here today is celebrating today, and the other half will celebrate today and tomorrow. So us guys who are in the farther range of the world, we get to do it twice.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Nandini. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, we are waiting for you, Maharaj. We're so excited and we are really waiting for you.
I think you should be more excited about Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is very much present. We just have to run to his lotus feet and take shelter and hear about him, chant his name, and worship him in different ways. Sometimes we think, oh, the Lord is not with us. The Lord is personally present, but he's present by his, when we chant his name, he's present. When we speak about him, he's present. When we hear about him, he's present. When we remember him, he's present. He's present. And when we do it together with other devotees, the presence becomes so sweet and so nice. Yes, saksa daritin samasta sastya. Direct, saksa means direct.
Thank you, Maharaj. We have a question from Archana Dattar Mataji. Mataji, if you would like to go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. All glories to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Happy Gaur Purnima.
Hare Krishna. Jai Ho. My obeisances to you.
Yes. Maharaj, my question was that you mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother, Vishwarup, he was the avatar of Ananta Shesha. So I just wanted to know, like, Lord Nityananda is also the incarnation of Sankarsana Ananta Shesha?
So, that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, he is Ananta Shesha also. He's Balaram. Mm.
Yeah.
But particular aspect of Balaram's energy manifests itself in different aspects of himself. So one of the energies of Balaram is Ananta Shesha. So Lord Nityananda and Lord Balaram are non-different. So, but specifically with Vishwarup, he is also the internal energy Lord Balaram, but he manifests himself in more in the mood of Ananta Shesha. So these are very detailed kind of technical aspects of the Lord's incarnations and how they present themselves in the mood of themselves. The different forms are non-different, but sometimes they emphasize a particular incarnation of themselves as opposed to another manifestation of themselves. Like Lord Balaram and Lord Nityananda are the same, but the mercy of Lord Nityananda is greater than the mercy of Lord Balaram. But they're the same person. So that same Balaram is giving more mercy.
Okay.
So as Ananta Shesha, what is the service of Ananta Shesha is that he is constantly glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, by chanting his glories. Ananta Shesha is the personification of holding up all of the universes on his heads. He is a multi-headed snake who sits at the bottom of the universes and holds up all of the universes on his heads. His universes are like little tiny mustard seeds on his gigantic form of the Lord. And what does he do? He chants. And he says that he's been chanting the glories of the Lord since time immemorial, and he hasn't repeated one of those glories even once.
Mm-hmm.
He's always chanting more and more of the glories of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's another change. There's a whole chapter in the fifth canto describing Ananta Shesha. You can read that in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you so much. I had one more question, if I can ask.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lord Chaitanya is called as Mahavadanyaya, but in the pastimes of Chota Haridas and Jagai Madhai, we see that he is really very merciful to Jagai Madhai, but he is not very merciful to Chota Haridas. So is there any reason or is there any lesson for us that we can take from that? Like if we mm-hmm. Become a devotee, is Lord not very merciful then?
Well, yeah. Well, he's merciful to Haridas too.
Mm-hmm.
In the Mahaprakash Leela, when Haridas Thakur was there, the Lord explained that when the Lord took the position of the Supreme Lord, and revealing himself as the Lord, this was a very rare occasion. It's called the Mahaprakash Leela, 21 hours that the Lord exhibited himself and accepted worship as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the house of Srivas Thakur. During the later part of that Leela, he started to offer benedictions to everyone and anyone. And when he turned to Haridas, he said, "Do you remember when you were being beaten in 22 marketplaces?" He said, I was in Vaikuntha and I became very angry and I came And I came with my chakra and I was about to kill both of them. But your prayers for their deliverance and your compassion towards them was so strong that my chakra would not move from my hand. But seeing how you were being beaten, I decided to cover your body with my body. And so when the Lord said that, he took his charger off and turned around, and the whip marks that were meant for Haridas were on the back of Lord Chaitanya. He showed that to Haridas, and Haridas fainted, couldn't handle that. So he was directly protecting Haridas in that particular pastime.
Maharaj, I was asking about Chota Haridas.
Oh, Chota Haridas. Well, oh, that's right. Chota Haridas. Okay, Chota Haridas. But he wanted to teach a very important part. So using the deviation of Chota Haridas, the Lord became very, very stern. And he didn't want to, you know, give Haridas, Chota Haridas, anything. He said, you can't come in my association ever again. So Chota Haridas went to the banks of the river and he drowned himself in the Ganga. But in his spiritual body, he was constantly glorifying the Lord, and the Lord was hearing that glorification. That's mentioned in that pastime, that they were, the Lord was always with Chota Haridas, as Chota Haridas was glorifying the Lord with beautiful song and beautiful prayers in his spiritual body. So he used this particular pastimes to teach the importance of the renounced order of life, those who are in the sannyasa order of life. He wanted to teach the strictness of this ashram. So he uses his devotees in different ways to teach. And sometimes it appears to be he's being harsh, but he's not.
Okay, Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
He showed mercy to Chota Haridas.
Thank you, Mataji, for your question. Tifili Mataji, would you please like to go ahead and pose your question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So wonderful to see you, and I'm so happy for you that you're in India. So my question is about the golden age. This time that we're in now, I was wondering, I think I just kind of want to clear it up in my mind about, I know that the benefits of the golden age is there's, we have the opportunity, you know, Goloka Vrindavan is available to us now. But I also was wondering in terms of bringing, is it an also an opportunity to bring more people to Krishna consciousness? Or where will our preaching efforts be stronger during this time? How can we use the benefits of this time?
Oh, yeah, especially now. The more people are suffering on a material level, the more they're inclined to reach out to something to relieve their suffering. Therefore, it's important that we are there for them. So whatever way we can preach, we should do that and make preaching a very important part of our devotion to Krishna. So preaching, reaching, teaching, it's all the same. Right now, preaching is really good. We're having experiences where I am, and wherever I go, the devotees are also. The preaching hasn't been hampered. It's only increased during this last 2 years. And it'll continue to increase because Lord Chaitanya's movement will build as Kali Yuga gets worse and worse. And then At one point, Lord Chaitanya's movement will start to flood the world with love of God, and Kali Yuga will be pushed back in a delayed form for at least 5,000 years.
Okay, so 5,000.
So that's Lord Chaitanya's prediction. It can happen fast or it can happen slow, depends on the devotees, but it will happen. The Lord uses his devotees to propagate his mission. But if we're lazy and we just want to sit back and enjoy Krishna consciousness, then Prabhupada said, the next generation will do it.
Well, that's good to know.
But those who do it get the credit. That's the point.
Okay.
So our movement is a preaching movement. It's not a simply a chapati flipping movement. Our movement is to reach out to the conditioned souls. Therefore, we center everything around preaching, teaching, everything. Even our temple activities are meant to bring people in so we can teach them about Krishna consciousness. We don't have our own private programs that we have, and then we allow the public to come in and take part. And then therefore they get a taste and they get an understanding of what this Krishna consciousness is, and then they become devotees. Our whole movement is centered around preaching. Everything.
Thank you, Maharaj.
And as I said, it's getting better. But still, the demons are quite powerful right now. And they have many more plans for greater power. So we need to push up the preaching even more, particularly the Sankirtan movement. Chanting and dancing in the streets, going out and chant for the public's benefit. Chanting and dancing in our temples, in our homes and streets. This is all Lord Chaitanya's mission.
So thank you so much, Maharaj. So grateful for your association. And have a wonderful Gaur Purnima tomorrow. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam. I just wanted to say Hare Krishna. This is Hari Radha from Fairfax, Virginia.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Paranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.
Thank you, Mataji. I have Namrata Mataji. Would you like to go ahead?
Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory, Krishna Prabhupada. Maharaj, I just wanted to ask, what is the importance of counting the holy names?
Because when it comes to japa, we should make a numerical vow. We shouldn't just chant and say, well, I'll chant this much today and this much tomorrow. We should make a numerical vow that I will chant this many rounds every day. That's the impediment. That's how we actually connect with the process of bhakti, by making a numerical vow in our japa. That's part of the Goswamis did that too. Sankyapurna is one verse in glorification of the Goswamis. It said they chanted and they also counted. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also did that. Prabhupada encouraged and made it a requirement that everyone keep counter beads and count your rounds. So if we're not chanting 16 rounds because we're not initiated yet, still we should make it a numerical vow. Say you decide to chant 8 rounds a day. All right, so you count 8 rounds. If you want to chant more, you can chant more, but you can't go below your numerical vow. Your numerical vow becomes the bottom line for your chanting every day. But everyone should make a numerical vow. Those who are initiated, they do that on the initiation. They agree to chant minimum 16 rounds. We never say maximum 16 rounds. We say minimum. So we count 16 at least. And for devotees who are not initiated, who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they should make a numerical vow. Because otherwise, we just chant when we feel like it. Oh, today I'll chant. Today I don't feel like chanting, so I don't chant. But I chant when I want to. No, the numerical vow keeps you connected to the process, and it keeps you connected to Krishna in a responsible way. So we have to make numerical vows. For those who are not initiated, we don't say you should make a particular number. We recommend that you make your own numerical vow and then follow that. But if you're aspiring for initiation, if you're serious, you should be chanting 16 rounds.
Yes, Maharaj. I think responsibility is one thing which counting the holy name is important for that responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, and chanting is we count our rounds all the time.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bhavan. I'm in Bombay now.
Yes, Maharaj?
I'm here in Bombay. I'm at the temple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm very much excited to meet you on Gaur Purnima tomorrow, Maharaj.
Okay. We'll be happy to see you.
Yes, Maharaj. I'm almost coming for the entire day, so I'll be attending all your lectures.
Starts at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Yes, Maharaj. I'm coming. Thank you. See you tomorrow, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Offering to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for the wonderful class and all the importance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Leela pastimes and appearance, the reasons of Lord Chaitanya. It's very, very wonderful. Please tell us that how to, you know, be grateful to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and how to, you know, grow their mission.
So in the Mahamantra, as we chant the 16th
Sutra. Well, how to be grateful is to preach. Prabhupada said, if you, he said, do what I'm doing. In other words, preach Krishna consciousness. That's the way to show your gratefulness. They say if you get something that is nice and you're happy with that, a natural person, a human person, will like to share their happiness with others. That's just natural. When you get something valuable and you're happy, you think, how can I make others happy with what I received? So giving it to others is the way to show your gratefulness to Lord Chaitanya, to Krishna, to your spiritual master, to Prabhupada.
Thank you, Manoj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Mansi Mataji, please go ahead.
Sudha has a question, isn't it?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Happy Gaur Purnima Maharaj in advance.
That's tomorrow for me, but today is happy too because I get to do it twice. Thank you.
Yes. Maharaj, I have a question that if we have more attraction towards Mayapur Dham, but when it comes to the deities, if we have more attraction towards Krishna, then how do we understand this contradiction?
It's not a contradiction. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Well, you're talking about the form of Krishna playing on the flute. That's what Lord Chaitanya is teaching you. He's teaching you to become attracted to Krishna. He's showing that himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is what is he is displaying. So he's showing by example, we should get attracted to Krishna. So if you get attracted to Krishna, you are making Lord Chaitanya completely happy because that's why he came to teach love of Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan.
But then why we don't experience the same affection for Vrindavan as for Mayapur?
Some people do. That depends on you. You can also develop that affection.
Right. In process, right, Maharaj?
Yeah, because there's no difference between Mayapur and Vrindavan. Anyone who sees difference between the two is seeing wrongly. If you go to Mayapur, you'll see Shyamakund is there, Radhakund is there, Govardhan Hill is there. All the holy places of Vrindavan are also in Mayapur. Well, Mayapur has an extra feature that Vrindavan doesn't have. Well, not doesn't have, but not in the extent that Mayapur, and that's called a Darya, mercy. The mercy is greater in Sri Mayapur Dham. Because Kali Yuga affects the vision of everyone in this age by covering the different dhams, but Mayapur doesn't get covered in Kali Yuga. It gets revealed more and more. And we are showing that by example. It says this temple of Vedic planetarium that's being built in Mayapur, when that is completed, that will bring waves of love of God throughout the whole world. That's mentioned in Navadvip Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that when that temple is built, the flood of love of God will increase as it goes around the world. So we want to get that temple built. And it's been, I think, it's now 2022. We were supposed to open it tomorrow. That was the actual deadline. But by the effects of Kali Yuga, things are going a lot slower than we expected. But the next prescribed date of opening is 2024. So in 2 years, we hope to have it open. And if you'll see, the devotees have been speaking about the TOVP, how important it is and how fundamental it is connected to the spread of Lord Chaitanya's mission. Because Jiva Goswami speaks about that. Nityananda speaks about that temple. Lord Nityananda also forecasted that temple to be built in Mayapur.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah, don't minimize Mayapur.
Yes.
It's not different, but I can understand. I can understand how people feel more inclined to Vrindavan. But that's fine. That's a particular mood.
The mercy that flows is also different, Maharaj, right?
It's the same, but it's more profuse and inevitably. The qualifications for entering into Vrindavan are greater than Mayapur. There's no qualifications in Mayapur. Lord Chaitanya is Patita Bhavan Tava. He's giving love of God to everyone and anyone without discrimination. Just take it.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Nina, I think we have some questions in the chat, right?
Yes, I'm just trying to reach that. Don't see any questions. Sri Mayapur Dham, any day for me. So grateful to Guru Maharaj for sending here. Yes.
Sudha made a question, didn't she?
I don't know why it's not showing in my chat. Maharaj, if you would like to go ahead, you can read it. I don't see. No questions, just glorifications. Srila Maharaj, Prabhu saying that there aren't any questions though. So,
Sudha Mataji, you can unmute yourself.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dhani Pranam Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. All praise to Srila Prabhupada. Sorry, I don't have any question, but thank you so much for the wonderful... Is it audible, Guru Maharaj? Is it better?
No? It's too low.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just close to microphone. Hare Krishna, is it better?
Yes.
That's better, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Hare Krishna, Dhanu Pranam, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I don't have any questions, but just such a beautiful class today. Just need your blessings, seeking your blessings on this auspicious day. So I can engage in a pure devotional service, Lotus Feet of Guru and Gauranga. Thank you again for this wonderful class.
You know, the blessing is that we become more attracted to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord.
Yes, Guru Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay, should we are about 2 hours into the class, but if anyone else would like to speak something, we can. Okay, we can stop here.
Further questions? Yes. No last minute questions from anybody. We can go ahead and end the call then.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare
Krishna.
Prabhu ki jai. His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj ki
jai. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj,
for such a beautiful class. Haribol.
Haribol. Haribol.